Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this fourth day of April, 2023. I'm so thrilled to have back as a returning guest my friend Virgil Walker, who is also one of my favorite guests on this broadcast. He is an author, and he's the executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, and also the co-host, along with Daryl Bernard Harrison, of the Just Thinking podcast. Today we're going to be promoting the 2023 G3 National Conference, but we're also going to be addressing a very controversial and important theme, a tsunami warning for the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Hey, thanks for having me. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, I hear you perfectly well, brother.
Good, good.
Well, first of all, tell our listeners, there may be a very rare occasion where we have listeners who don't know about G3 Ministries. It would actually shock me if they didn't know about it. But you never know. We do have sometimes new listeners, even listeners that are not Christians, who discover this program by God's providence. So tell us about G3 Ministries.
Yeah, G3 Ministries is the ministry of Dr. Josh Bice, really from birthed out of Praise Mill Baptist Church, and that's P-R-A-Y. I have to tell people that because I think when they hear us say Praise Mill, they think P-R-A-I-S-E Mill, and it's actually right. Ephraim Pray, P-R-A-Y, who the church is actually named after. It was his mill that was given over. That said, more info than you wanted to know. That said, it is a ministry birthed out of that space and place. Dr. Josh Bice had the idea of doing a theology conference at our local church, and it, for years, starting in about 2013, was the first conference they had been planning for a year prior to that. But 2013 would have been the first conference that actually launched there at the church. It was packed full from the very beginning. We could fill 700 seats, and we had more than 700 people register for that particular event. And that kind of continued until 2017 when we went to the convention center where we were planning to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We had about 2,800 people show up there at that event. And it's just exploded from there. More than 3,500 the following year, closer to 4,000, 4,500 the year after that. By 2020, we were teaming at about 5,500. And then, of course, in 2021, the last national conference, we had more than 6,500 people at that conference. We've got speakers, many of whom are guests on your show. Josh Bice, Dr. James White, Vody Bachum, Paul Washer, Stephen Lawson. I mean, the names just go on and on and on. It's just some fantastic speakers. This conference has transformed from a conference-based ministry that produces content to a content-producing ministry that hosts a biennial conference. And so we have a number of resources that are available to pastors, to church leaders, and the like. You can go on to G3Min, G3MIN.org to find those free resources. Things from curriculum for people who are doing homeschool to pastors in churches who are involved in different aspects of discipleship. We have a G3 Press. We're producing fantastic books and the like from that space as well. We have a G3 app where you can download conference information. I mean, the list goes on and on and on as the ministry continues to grow by leaps and bounds. All of this by God's grace, and we're excited about what's happening. Our next conference will be September 21st through the 23rd here in Atlanta. It is on the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It's going to be a fantastic conference. You're going to be there, of course, Chris as well, and number of different vendors from all over. It'll probably be one of our largest vendor spaces as well. We'll have more than 100 plus some odd vendors. We anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,500 people at that event, and it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic time for us to gather together.
Yes, and as always, I am so excited about it, and folks, I am not exaggerating, I'm not using hyperbole. Anybody who knows me personally knows that I love the G3 conference, and I get really revved up about it and pumped up and so on, however you want to describe it. And as always, the lineup is monumental. I have never, ever been at a conference that has such a long roster of speakers. And not only a long roster, but every single speaker is just the highest quality that you can find in the church today. And you've listed some of those men that will be there this time around in September. Let me repeat some of them. Vody Balcom, Stephen Lawson, Paul Washer, Phil Johnson, who I just had on the program. I think it was yesterday I had Phil on. James White, Mike Riccardi, Justin Peters, Ken Ham, Owen Strand, James Coates, the Canadian pastor who was arrested for refusing to shut down his worship services during the COVID mandates that were being laid down. Scott Annual. My guest today, Virgil Walker, and his co-host on the Just Thinking podcast, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Scott Brown, and Susan Heck. And I've interviewed most of these folks and intend to get all of those that I have not interviewed for this conference back on the show as soon as the Lord will allow. And please, folks, if you intend to be there at this conference, please, if you haven't already registered, use the discount code G3ISIR. That is the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio discount code, G3ISIR, and you will get 30% off the registration fee. That is going to obviously help you and your wallet, and it's going to help me, and because it will further ensure that G3 Ministries will continue this relationship that we have of advertising on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please go to g3men.org, g3men.org to register and use promo code ISIR. That's actually G3ISIR, G3ISIR. And let our listeners know, especially for the sake of those who are unfamiliar with your podcast, that you co-host with Daryl Bernard Harrison. Let us know about Just Thinking.
Yeah, Just Thinking is, again, the brainchild of Daryl Bernard Harrison. Man, I tell you what, all these great folks who lead out in these ministries, I just have a tendency to just kind of hitch my wagon alongside of. So it's a joy to be connected with Daryl. And as we do the Just Thinking podcast, we've been doing it a little over 5.5 years, and really has been phenomenal to see the impact impact that it's had in the body of Christ as we tackle a number of different cultural issues through the lens of a biblical worldview on that show. And we've got an episode coming up here really soon where we'll be addressing the issue of spiritual warfare. And so we'll be talking about that at great length, unpacking the doctrine from a biblical, from a biblical lens, and just making sure people understand what it actually is and what it is not. There are people calling, spiritual warfare things that are not, and then missing the opportunity to properly identify what it actually is and how it actually functions. And so we'll be doing that as well. But just thinking, like I said, over 5 years, more than 6 million downloads of people, not only just around the country, but around the world, literally. We've been enjoying doing that, the impact of it, and seeing how God has been using it.
Great. And if anybody who wants to begin to listen to that podcast, the Just Thinking podcast, you can go to their website, justthinking.me, M as in Michael, E as in Edward, justthinking.me. And you also find out everything you need to know about that podcast. Well, you wanted to discuss something that has a very provocative theme today, a tsunami warning for the Southern Baptist Convention. And let me do some damage control immediately by making sure that our listeners know that neither Virgil nor myself are trying to broad brush everyone who is involved or who is pastoring a congregation in the Southern Baptist Convention. There are many fine folks in the Southern Baptist Convention, many fine and dedicated pastors, especially those affiliated with the founders ministries like Dr. Tom Askell, who is the president of that valuable organization. But at the same time, just because of the fact that there are wonderful, biblically solid people involved in any denomination, fellowship, organization, doesn't mean that we should shy away from open public criticism when there are things terribly amiss with the leadership of those kinds of organizations and denominations. So tell us where you are coming from today. What is this warning that you wanted to declare on the program today?
No, actually, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to have this conversation. I think it's important to note, as you did at the very top, that what this comes from is not just a desire to see things fall apart or to see things not go well for the SBC, but more importantly, you issue warnings to those that you care about, those organizations, those people, the entities that you care for. And I titled my article, it's based upon an article that I've written on the G3 platform. You can go to g3men.org go to a blog. The blog is titled A Tsunami Warning for the SBC. And I began by explaining how in March of 2011 that there was a 9.1 magnitude earthquake that had rocked Japan there in 2011. What was interesting about that particular earthquake was the magnitude of the tsunami that actually followed. Those who were that were a part of that area of the world recognize that there are multiple earthquakes that happen rather often. This particular earthquake that happened about 81 miles off of the Tohoku area, off of the out in the northern Pacific, they didn't have much time before the tsunami approached land. And once the earthquake magnitude, like I said, 9.1 massive earthquake hit, it shifted the tectonic plates in the ocean, creating a 130-foot wave that actually raced toward the shore at a pace of speed of about anywhere between 300 and 500 miles per hour. This is a damaging wave that actually hit the coast. It would eventually take the lives of more than 20,000 people. in that part of the world. And so this was phenomenal. I thought about the impact of that A, earthquake, B, the wave that took place, and in light of what's happened in the Southern Baptist Convention, and how often there have been magnitude, 9 or more earthquakes that have happened that have rocked the SBC at its core, and thereby creating these waves of impact that begin to take place. And one of them that I've identified, and I've used it as a tsunami warning, is Rick Warren, who recently, his church, his Saddleback Church, was disfellowshipped from SBC circles, primarily because of the fact that he had, he had made the decision in May of 2021 to install 3 women as pastors at his church. Once he was disfellowshipped, the process of disfellowship was, it took a long time. In fact, Chris, we had actually talked about some of this on your program a while back, what the SBC was thinking, how they were navigating this particular issue of women pastors. We were, as culture was asking the question, what is a woman? You had the SBC asking the question, what is a pastor? As a result of that, I think that the push with regard to that, by February of 2023, they rethought, some of the leadership rethought the idea of disfellowshipping Saddleback Church and made the decision to do so. Rick Warren would go on the Russell Moore Show and exposed the fact that he thought this was unfair, stated his reasons and rationale for why. I know we'll get into that at greater detail here in a bit, but made the decision that he is going to actually fight this decision, and he intends to do so at the upcoming SBC convention in June, and this will probably be something that goes to the floor of the SBC. I titled this a tsunami warning for the SBC, because I really do believe that the environment, based upon the previous earthquakes within the SBC, within SBC circles, previous earthquakes really have softened the targets, if you will, for a massive a wave to overtake the SBC, an egalitarian wave, if you will, to take over the SBC and move them from their current position, which is a biblical one, to one that is not biblical.
Now, isn't this just a fruit of a danger that is inherent to a church or group of churches or pastors or individuals being a member or members of an enormous organization like the Southern Baptist Convention that is multifaceted? There's a seemingly a wide spectrum of theological viewpoints and how churches function within that paradigm. And of course, most would insist that all would be within the framework of at least adhering to the bare minimum of what the scriptures would require to identify a true church. But it seems to me that there's an inherent danger whenever something gets so massive.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that as it pertains to the size and the scope of the SBC. Now, you know, in years past, they boasted somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 plus thousand churches, some 21 to 30 million members. And while the numbers have dwindled a bit, they are still a massive entity, currently boasting about 47,000 churches, some 14.5 million members. One of the reasons why this subject is important, and why all the subjects related to the SBC seem to come up in news cycles, is because of the size and scope of this, of this denomination. It is massive. It has a massive following. And as it goes, so goes a lot of what's known as Christian conservatism, right? When Trump got elected, what was blamed was evangelicalism. And when they say evangelicalism, in large part, what they mean are Southern Baptists. Not that Southern Baptists encompass all of quote unquote evangelicalism, but on the basis of sheer numbers and size and scope alone, I can't think of any one denomination. In fact, there's not any one denomination that is larger, has more churches and has more people involved than does the SBC. So one of the reasons, again, why it's important to culture what happens in and with the SBC is because of its size and scope. You combine that with the manner in which organizations like the SBC, gather. How does an organization that large find that many people affiliating with it? Well, the way that they do so is to the point that you just made. They have to ensure that what they believe covers a wide range, a large tent, and a big umbrella, so that more people can say what they agree with rather than what's disagreed with. And so for Southern Baptists, that document is known as the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, or some in SBC circles know it as the BF&M 2000. This is a document that says, here's what we believe, here's where we stand on these issues, and if we're in healthy cooperation with one another, this is what you must believe. This is kind of like mere Christianity, if you will. It's the basics of belief that are required for someone to be a Southern Baptist church. As it pertains to this particular subject, women pastors, women preachers, and the like, here's what the BF&M says about that. It says this: a New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ is an autonomous local congregation of baptized believers associated by covenant and faith and fellowship with the gospel. Getting closer to where they talk about it, they say this: each congregation operates under the lordship of Christ through democratic processes. In such a congregation, each member is responsible and accountable to Christ as Lord. Its scriptural officers are pastors and deacons. And here's the key. It says this: while both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. And so that's what the BF&M, the Baptist Faith and Message, actually says. I think the sentence is clear. While both men and women are gifted for church service, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. And so if you understand the language there, you understand that the office of pastor is should be separated as for men, biblically speaking, that's absolutely clear in the passages in Timothy and in Titus and the like. And so this issue should not be in question. However, there are Southern Baptist churches who have made a decision to ignore both Scripture and this particular, BF&M, this particular statement of faith, if you will, and have ordained women in the role of pastor.
Now, is there any defense of the hierarchy of the Southern Baptist Convention that, and it involves a key word you mentioned there, that there are churches that are in defiance of what the Southern Baptist Convention requires of churches, and that would be an exclusively male headship in the church, for one. That's not the only thing, but how do you respond to the fact that people are in the hierarchy are maybe saying, well, as you yourself said, these churches are defiant to what we are saying is required of them?
Yeah, well, there are things that are happening on two levels. One is within the autonomous churches. So within the local churches, what you're having happen is a separation of title or office of pastor and role of pastor. They're taking language and doing again what a lot of folks who lean liberal, folks who are progressive in their ideological framework, what they try to do is they try to change the definitions of words so that they can get around maybe what either scripture says or what a statement of faith actually says. You see this culturally with the language around marriage. We all know that marriage for hundreds, for thousands of years has always meant one man, one woman in covenant union for life. That's what always has been the definition of marriage. Well, when we want to change, when culture decides it wants to change the definition of marriage, they insert their own language. Well, marriage can be between two men, or marriage can be between two women. And they restructure what's been typically defined in a specific way. Well, that's the case here as well. What's being done at local church levels in an effort to get around the idea that the qualified men are able to be in the office of pastor is they've taken the word office and they said, well, there's an idea around office, and then the separate idea that we can have is role or function. So we're allowing women to function as pastors or to be in the role of a pastor without maintaining the office of pastor. Well, that's just language mumbo jumbo for the purpose of obfuscating what's actually clear in the text. You don't have an office without operating in a role. You don't have an office without functioning in that office. And so those ideas aren't separate. But what they've done is they've separated the language at a local level so that local churches feel comfortable trying to maintain their relationship with Southern Baptists while diminishing the actual office and role and function of pastor. The second thing that's happening, Chris, is at the SBC level where the leadership is concerned. Last year, you had the Credentials Committee come back after having taken a year from 2021 to 2022 to examine not only Rick Warren's church, and they did this primarily with Warren because he was one of the largest SBC churches in the country, but they've examined all those churches and came back. And even though the statement that they had in the Baptist Faith and Message was clear, obviously, over the course of a year, there were those who were on the Credentials Committee who had a difficult time based upon the idea that I just put forth. The role, function, and office, these ideas have been separated. So you have people on the Credentials Committee who still seem to be a bit confused as to whether or not a woman could serve in the role or office of a pastor. And so they came back in 2022, the Credentials Committee, came back and on the floor of the convention that year in June made the statement that they needed another year in an effort to determine whether or not the language in the Baptist Faith and Message made it clear that only men could serve in the office of pastor. So I thought that was ludicrous. I wrote about it, as did many others. There was kind of a back and forth about it on the floor of the convention. This was the year that Rick Warren actually showed up on the floor of the convention and laid out his case. He did so in a very pragmatic way. He did so in a way that really engaged the sentimental crowd and as a result, had more time by which to maintain fellowship with the SBC. I mean, it took from June of 2022 until February of 2023 for the Credentials Committee to come back with the proper ruling, which they should have had more than 6-8 months prior, where they told Warren that he and Saddleback Church would no longer be in cooperation with SBC churches.
Well, we're going to our first commercial break. If you have a question for Virgil Walker, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I could readily understand if somebody is listening who has a question and they are in the Southern Baptist Convention and they don't want to identify themselves for one reason or another. I can understand that, but if it's a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker right after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Scott Brown here with Church and Family Life. I hope you can join me and Chris Arnzen at my national conference, The Chief End of Man. It's in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, right next to Asheville. At this event, you'll hear Paul Washer, Joel Beakey, Scott Aniol, Josh Bice, and many others, really my favorite preachers. We're offering a special discount to listeners of this show. And all you need to do is enter the code IRON during checkout, and you'll receive a 50% discount off the registration fee. We're also doing a pre-conference with Paul Washer and Jeff Johnson geared toward singles on May 3rd and 4th. For more information, go to churchandfamilylife.com. Don't forget the code IRON during checkout. I really hope to see you there.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this amazing deal. Anybody from the audience of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio who purchases jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com will ensure that we get 100% of the profits from that sale merely by you mentioning Chris Arnes of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Whether you are purchasing jewelry that's already in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you're having something more elaborate and complicated done, like an engagement ring being custom designed, or taking your church logo, for instance, or your parachurch ministry logo, or your seminary logo, or your denomination logo, and turning it into a piece of jewelry, like a pendant for a necklace or a ring, whatever your imagination and creativity can conjure up, royaldiadem.com will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical, mind-blowing, breathtaking, stunning piece of jewelry. I've seen what they have created firsthand, and they are masters at this. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon if you have any intention to purchase jewelry or have something custom designed for yourself or someone else. Please go there soon because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer. That's royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com. Mention Chris Arnes of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Virgil Walker, and we are discussing a tsunami warning for the Southern Baptist Convention. And before I go to any of the listener questions that have come in, I just want you to lay out, in addition to the problem with egalitarianism wreaking havoc in the Southern Baptist Convention, what are some of the other major issues that you and like-minded brothers in Christ have that makes them so stirred up with dismay that they are offering, just like you are, a warning to their brothers and sisters in Christ in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah, as I looked at the landscape of evangelicalism and particularly the SBC in the last few years, it's been interesting to witness what's taken place. I go all the way back to 2018, and I know most people kind of hang their hat on what took place in 2019. But for me, I think the issue of wokeism, the issue of social justice had simply begun to kind of give us some ideas around how it was going to unfold back in late 2017 and of course in 2018. In 2018, the SBC and its organization, the ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, had teamed up with the Gospel Coalition to put on this event called the MLK 50, so Martin Luther King's 50th anniversary. This is the 50th anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr. And so they wanted to talk about his "I Have a Dream," "I Have a Dream" speech, everything that surrounded civil rights, and take a closer look at it to see if it had indeed impacted culture as a whole, and the church in particular. The leaders of the event, I named in my article, were men like Charlie Dates and Eric Mason. Eric Mason, of course, has written a book called Woke Church. Jackie Hill Perry. There's an incredible roster of speakers that were a part of this event. Each speaker that got on the platform seemed to want to promote this woke idea that Jim Crow was bad, which I think everyone agrees Jim Crow is bad. That the fight for civil rights, the right to just be seen or judged rather, not by the color of your skin, but by the content of character, that was something worth fighting for, and I think we all agree there. I think what became problematic was when what they tried to do, what many of the speakers tried to do, was they tried to problematize issues during the civil rights movement and act as if, or at least present as if, those same issues were at play today in 2021 or that time in 2018. Nothing could be further from the truth. Blacks, comparatively speaking, from the time of the 1960s, 1965, 1968, blacks have more freedoms today than ever before. Blacks have greater wealth, greater opportunities, greater means of getting around and doing nearly everything they want to do. There's no comparison between today, or at least that day in 2018, to the time of King and the civil rights movement. They were fighting for voting rights. But each speaker tried to make try to draw this narrative that things were not just as bad as they were, but had even been worse today than they were in that day. This should have served as kind of just a tremor, a part of an earthquake, the thing that happens before the tsunami. But it did not. Most ignored it for the most part. Very few evangelical leaders really spoke out against it. A handful did, but the vast majority did not. By 2019, what you had was many in that were advancing social justice were claiming that there was no such thing called social justice. There was no such thing as critical race theory. There was no such thing as these issues that we were seeing were shaking the SBC at its core. 2019 shows up, and of course, within SBC circles, you had the big issue, which really kind of shook everyone to their core, which was the Houston Chronicles published a six-part series that dealt with the allegations of sexual abuse within the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, keep in mind that this Chronicle expose actually covered 20 years of history, and what they found were 700 cases of sexual misconduct in the SBC, of which, and again, keep in mind the size of the SBC in light of the number of cases. The SBC had 47,000 churches and 14.5 million members. I never want to make light of any situation of sexual misconduct. I think all of those need to be examined at great degree to determine, A, what happened, and B, if there's anything that needs to either change or if people even need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law based upon any kind of misconduct as it pertains to male-female relationships or anything alternative in those regards. But what you had is the pressure of the Me Too movement combined with the pressure of the Church Too movement. Me Too was followed because of Judge Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court. Church Too, as a result of this article that comes out, as a result in 2019, you had this kind of thing that was building, these ideas that were building. In fact, there were leaders within the SBC, Beth Moore being one of them, who felt that women could not be safe unless more women were involved in leadership. So her calls were for more women in roles of leadership within the SBC for the mere purpose of keeping those who had been involved in any kind of sexual misconduct, that she felt that would allow a safer space for those individuals. And so while that sounds logical, what it ignores is that those issues, those allegations of sexual misconduct, could be addressed by any, by male or female who learns of it, but it needs to be addressed appropriately and properly. The gender of the person does not dictate whether or not someone, rightly listens to an allegation. That's a misnomer. With that said, those two things were kind of ripe, the allegations that were taking place by this expose and then leadership within the SBC that were trying to push forward or advance an egalitarian move. What happened at the end of 2019 was we also saw CRT, which again many said that was not an issue. Social justice was not an issue. CRT comes to the floor of the convention and gets voted in to be a part of the analytical tools used to assess right and wrong within the SBC. So this is a lot of drama that's actually taking place that really is shaking the foundational core of Southern Baptists. The CRT issue, intersectionality, critical race theory, social justice, the issue of sexual misconduct, and the egalitarian push. All of these things within 2 years, 2018 and 2019, these conversations would be discussed over the course of the next 2 years, and it wouldn't be until May of 2021 that Rick Warren decided that this was the ripe environment for him to push forward or advance women pastors at his church. So all of these these things were elements that really shaped decision makers and decisions that took place at Saddleback.
Yes, and even before that all rose its ugly head, Rick Warren was an open ecumenist with the Roman Catholic Church, even declaring that Pope Francis is his pope.
His pope, yeah.
And so this would be an area of, can a denomination or any kind of a fraternal organization of churches, fellowship, etc., can they tolerate in their midst someone like Rick Warren and churches that follow their lead who view the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as something of secondary or tertiary importance, so that you can openly and unashamedly say, well, even though I have my personal views of justification by faith alone, I think that the issues that the Roman Catholic Church and us, we who are evangelicals and Bible believers, the issues that we have in common are far greater and far more numerous, and therefore I'm going to give my brothers and sisters in the Church of Rome the benefit of the doubt by not using those things that they disagree with us over as a reason for disfellowship and for barring from any kind of spiritual affiliation. That's basically what Warren must be thinking. He hasn't become officially a Roman Catholic, but is this something to be tolerated where people are reaching that point of ecumenism?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think the issues with Warren are numerous, but in large part they're indicative of the problems with the church at large. I think there's been such a lack of clarity on particular doctrines, the doctrine of justification in particular, as it relates to the Roman Catholic Church. We're not clear on doctrine. What we've done is we have pastors of very large mega churches who've developed an incredible following, not on the basis of clarity of thought around scripture, but based on pop culture and psychology and, you know, pragmatic ideas about church growth. I mean, you know, Warren's appeal from a national platform, you know, has been the book that he wrote, The Purpose-Driven Life. He begins the book by saying it's not about you, but then spends the vast majority of the book, 90% of it, talking all about you and what you need to do to see your purpose affected, and then follows that up with The Purpose-Driven Church. And as a result of its sales and its wide and its vast appeal, he gets on, you know, platforms like Oprah. He's invited to presidential debates. He's opening up, the inaugurations of specific presidents. And so it's with that kind of popular appeal that folks kind of turned a blind eye to how accurate is he as it relates to scripture. I mean, if you examined, for example, The Purpose-Driven Life, what you'll notice is that the texts of scripture that he often uses are those with very kind of weak translations, very kind of narrative types of translations that aren't closely aligned to what the text actually says. And he uses those because it advances a particular idea or narrative. It's more eisegesis, reading things into the text of scripture, than it is exegesis, pulling out from scripture the truths that are actually there. So, I mean, if you go back far enough, I mean, there's a lot to be concerned with as it relates to Warren. And while his claim, at least recently, as it relates to female pastors, his claim recently has been, you know, it wasn't that culture influenced him. It wasn't that, you know, that he was, you know, moved by what's happening in the public square, but that his mind was changed, according to him, as a result of the text of Scripture, I have a difficult time believing that. And then definitely as he expressed which text of Scripture he came, you know, to this idea from, it's obvious that he's either a poor exegete. He's either poor at biblical hermeneutics, or he's advancing another idea, cultural idea that suits him at the time.
And we have to go to our midway break. We will be right back with more of Virgil Walker after these messages.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen and I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, always remember to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries and the Just Thinking podcast, and our discussion of a tsunami warming for the Southern Baptist Convention We just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, mailing in a physical check to a physical address, there will also appear on the screen a physical address when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote, well, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as soon as possible. We are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please always remember that I never want anybody in my audience to cut into the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church where you are a member on the Lord's Day. In other words, don't give your own church less money than you're accustomed to giving them in order to bless us financially. Never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The two things that are very clear in the Bible about finances is that we are commanded to provide for our churches and our families. Providing for my radio show is not a command, obviously. But if you love this show and you do have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you don't want this show to go away, well, then please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, as a reminder to men in ministry leadership, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon is coming up on Thursday, April 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. This is a free event featuring Dr. William Webster, who is a Banner of Truth author and a pastor in Battleground, Washington, and Reverend David T. King, who is a co-author of Dr. Webster, and he's also a pastor at Christ Church in Katy, Texas. Not only will you be fed physically with lunch and fed spiritually by the messages provided by Dr. Webster and Reverend King, everyone in attendance is going to leave with a heavy sack of free brand new books selected by me personally and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, including G3 Press. So we're so thrilled that we're getting some books from that fine organization. And so that's a deal breaker as far as I'm concerned. If you are wondering whether or not you should come, if you're able to get to Loysville, Pennsylvania, please try to make it if you're a man in ministry leadership. And send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com to register. Just put luncheon in the subject line. The 3 days following that luncheon, Friday the 14th of April, Saturday the 15th, and Sunday the 16th. Those same two men, Dr. Webster and Reverend King, are going to be preaching at a three-day Bible conference arranged by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at a different church, Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The theme is the gospel removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers, and rejected by modern evangelicals. This is also free, as I said, so if you'd like to register for that, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put conference in the subject line or put conference and luncheon in the subject line and let me know how many people plan to attend either or both of those events. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound church like Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches. I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that could be you, too. If you are without a church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Virgil Walker. And our theme, once again, is a tsunami warning for the Southern Baptist Convention, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have a listener in West Islip, New York, Thomas, who says, what do you have to say about all of the noble, biblically faithful men who are pastors in mainline denominations that may contain even apostate churches, but they are not willing to wave the white flag and give up and surrender their buildings and their congregations to these wicked denominations, and they want to stand and fight as if they were modern-day Martin Luther's.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for those folks in you know, mainline churches who are taking a stand for, you know, biblical fidelity. They're wanting to stand for the sufficiency of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture. They're wanting to stand on biblical truth. You know, I'm encouraged by that. I think we all should be, in light of the wave that has really overtaken much of mainline, Protestantism. Most of what you see in those spaces and places has actually gone to the left. And I think what follows decisions to ignore Scripture are denominations who eventually have folks leaving them, like what you're seeing across the country. Most of these mainline denominations, they're very few people that are actually attending the church. It's when you have a low view of Scripture, you have a low view of Christ, you have a low view of church. People begin to ask the question as to why they're participating in anything, why they're engaged in any kind of a religious endeavor, and they go and engage in other things. And so that's what you see. That's why I think this conversation is important to have, because we don't want to see one of the largest denominations in the country go to the wayside like mainline denominations, only to have a handful of people really standing for, churches in particular, really standing for the truths of Scripture.
So I'm assuming by what you said is that there is a place for men who are biblically faithful to stand firm even in horrible denominations, because they have a very optimistic view of the future. They think that they may be able to win the battle and be used of God to turn the denominations back to the biblical roots upon which they were founded. Is that, there is a place for that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I hate to say no. You always want to see them taking a stand. But, you know, if that's what they feel called to do, I would encourage them to do that. I don't consider myself one. I'm at a church where we made the decision not long ago to walk away from the Southern Baptist Convention for the very reason that we kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. As we watched social justice take hold, CRT take hold, and now this egalitarian wave, amongst other things along the way, we made a decision to step away because it's not our goal and mission to save a denomination. Our goal and mission is to proclaim the gospel and to see souls come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't think there's anything wrong with a mainline denomination saying, I'm going to stay for whatever reason, for the purpose of proclaiming Christ. I would hesitate to say that they would, if they were making the claim that they're making a decision to stay for the purpose of ransoming, redeeming, or seeing a leftward denomination, a progressive denomination, turn back to a more conservative view, a clear view, an orthodox view of Scripture. That rarely, if ever, happens. More times than not, once they've gone left, they actually continue in that trajectory.
We have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, isn't the largest problem that is inherent to the Southern Baptist Convention that has spawned all of these kinds of problems is the gross lack of church discipline that has ever been conducted in this denomination for a very long time? I can even think of the fact that Bill Clinton was a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, and to my knowledge, he has never been disciplined by the Southern Baptist Convention in any way, shape, or form, nor has any other very famous individual who has apostate views of the Scriptures and morality.
Yeah, that's true, that very few, unfortunately, Very few, even SBC churches actually practice any form of biblical church discipline. You know, my encouragement to those churches who don't or aren't engaged in that, or to people who are involved in those churches, would be to have a conversation with leadership and to seriously talk about it and consider what that would look like for your church to involve itself in proper biblical church discipline. Those kinds of things definitely lend themselves to pragmatism, lend themselves to kind of the direction that we're seeing a big portion of the SBC go.
And we have, let's see here, we have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. And Bibi says, I know that you're not a prophet, but do you see a possibility that is based in reality for the Southern Baptist Convention within our lifetime to turn around and return to its biblically faithful roots?
Yeah, I'm not a prophet nor son of a prophet, and I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I really don't. I think, you know, for the most part, and again, I think a large part of the reason why we made the decision, we being the church I attend, Praise Mill, and the elders there, made the decision to leave the Southern Baptist Convention was for that very reason. We didn't see a road back. My hope would be that we're wrong. It's not some, you know, some excitement by which I share these ideas and make the statements that I'm making. It's with the hope of seeing a very large denomination, representative of a large number of churches, and millions of people involved that they would press into Scripture, and see their way into, declaring Scripture as sufficient, and operating in a much more biblical framework rather than one that's pragmatic.
Well, before we go to any more listener questions, I want you to set forth things that you think would be positive steps, perhaps even necessary steps, for people who are in the Southern Baptist Convention, whether they are pastors or seminary presidents, professors, whatever affiliation that they have with the Southern Baptist Convention, in order to make things right. And also, a second follow-up question would be, how do we, who are not in the Southern Baptist Convention, support or not support these folks that we are challenging to make such steps?
Yeah, I think those are great questions, and they're not easy questions. I would start by kind of going back down to the to kind of the origin. The SBC is made up of autonomous churches, local churches, and they only convene according again to their bylaws and their constitution. They're only the Southern Baptist Convention on the days that they convene for their meeting. Thereafter, they're no longer a quote unquote denomination. A lot of that is just based upon the way that they've set things up and organized them. I think it begins with local church pastors. It begins with, you know, believers in those local churches who want to be faithful to the Word of God, who are tired of listening to 25-minute TED Talks, who want to abandon the idea of being relevant to the world, who want to stake a claim in the ground and say, you know what, we're going to stand with the kingdom of God and for the purpose of advancing the cause of Christ, regardless of what that costs us. We live in a time and a culture and a society where our concern is more fixed on what others think of us than it is on what God thinks of us. And so it begins with the individual who's at a local church who says, I want to attend a church where folks are faithful to Scripture, where men of God are looking into the Word of God and are providing a meal, right, food in the pulpit, preaching from a standpoint of a proper exposition of Scripture and understanding what the Word of God says and what it means by what it says, and holds that standard high, has a high view of Scripture, has a high view of the church, has a high view of just kind of a biblical literacy for the people of God. I think those things are the beginning of turning things around. And again, when you think of an entity that has 47,000 churches in it, that's a long process. Things won't change by inaugurating a president, right? A brand new conservative president. That president would have to have, multiple layers of conservatism wrapped in it. I mean, this is what we saw when we witnessed the conservative resurgence. This took decades to unfold, more than a decade to unfold, to see a liberal leaning Southern Baptist convention right the ship to conservatism. So I think to ride it and hold it is not just top down. It more importantly, it's bottom up.
Now, as the executive director of operations at G3 Ministries, are there any Southern Baptist pastors or scholars, theologians, seminary professors who are permitted now to participate in the G3 conferences? What I mean by that is obviously you'll allow them to attend, but are they able to preach there? Will they ever be again as they once were on the preaching roster? Will they be joining me by manning exhibitors booths and so on, as long as they are in agreement with you on the main principles that G3 stands for? How severe has the whole issue become in G3's relationship to the Southern Baptist Convention and its adherents?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. I would say that, for us, it's not a, hey, they carry that label, they're no longer a part of us. I think to be honest with you, we will have at this conference a record number of attendees, many of whom are still a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. They stand with us, from a standpoint of a high view of Scripture. They stand with us with a high view of the church and of church discipline. They stand with us as it relates to sufficiency of Scripture. Many of them stand with us with our leanings from a soteriological standpoint. At the same time, not all do. But they, for the most part, there's great synergy. There's fantastic agreement on the issues that matter. And as a result, they're able to join us. And we don't bar anyone from being a part of our exhibit hall, so long as they link with us and they're not holding the woke ideologies and are leaning into what we're seeing as in the way of cultural narrative. So those kinds of things, if they're in agreement with us, they operate from the most part with a 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith and understand where we stand as it relates to a statement of on social justice and the gospel. They're linked with us. We actually have an entire G3 church network of pastors, more than 200 of them at this point, that have linked with us in those ways. Do we see eye to eye on every single jot and tittle of even the 1689? No. But for the most part, on the major issues, we have agreement. So will there be folks at the convention or at the conference, rather, who are Southern Baptists? I would venture to say the large majority of the people that attend the conference are either Reformed Baptist or Southern Baptist. And so we don't tell them, hey, you can't come. We welcome them. They're with us. And our hope would be that what we provide in the way of information, in the way of education, in the way of encouragement, would be something that would be beneficial to them as they go back to their local churches and minister to the people of God that God's given them.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I was making an effort to have the church where I am a member apply to join the G3 network of churches and the leadership in the church where I attend was too leery of this because they were fearing that there might be something required of them that would associate them with people who disagree with them on matters such as dispensationalism and other issues. But isn't this just a list of like-minded churches that share the core theology and principles espoused by G3, and that there would be nothing actually required involving an action by these churches who are on this list?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I mentioned, we adhere to a 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, of course, with caveats. Folks, for example, may read the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, and where there's a statement that says that the Pope is the Antichrist, they may disagree. They may think that he is an Antichrist, or may not be Sabbatarian. For example, there's ways to kind of write in, hey, I don't agree here, but here's where we stand with that particular issue. As it pertains to the question that was asked, as it references soteriology, or rather as it addresses eschatology, there's no eschatological stand that we have in one way or another, whether it's dispensationalism, whether it's amillennialism or the like. And so, folks can hold to those different ideas. In fact, within our executive team, we have different eschatological opinions as it relates to both those two categories. Some of us are amill, others are dispensational. And so I don't see a church who has or holds to those ideas being outside of the framework of what could be considered a G3 network church.
So basically you're saying is when you say that you insist on some kind of a commonality with confessional Reformed Baptist churches, you're not saying that they must be that themselves, because obviously a confessional Reformed Baptist can be a historic premillennialist, but he can't be a dispensationalist. That's just too far of a stretch for a confessional Reformed Baptist.
Correct. You're correct. That's absolutely right. Yeah. And my encouragement would be, rather than making a decision kind of far off, that they would dialogue with us. Let us help them walk through that. There's aspects of being a part of the G3 church network where maybe church leadership is with us, but they're bringing the church along, right? They're recognizing that perhaps the church as a whole would not go where we are, but they're a part of a process of reforming that church. And so we would even consider church leadership and say, hey, if you want to connect with us, if you think from a standpoint of resources, we would be of benefit. Let's link arms. Let's walk together. Let's encourage one another. And as you navigate the process of walking your entire church through a process of reformation.
And this, if a church were to apply to be a part of the G3 network of churches, I'm assuming this is not like joining ARPCA or joining RBNet, where there might be some kind of required involvement in meetings and things like that, and dues or whatever. I mean, is there anything that would be required like that of participants who get approved to the G3 network of churches?
Yes, there is. There's an annual fee. It's incredibly affordable at $500 to get in. But we've got churches throughout the network who see value in what we're doing and the resources that we're providing to local churches, who do make monthly donations, who look at their total receipts and say, hey, a percentage of those receipts will go to the G3 church network. Just depends upon where they are, but we wanted to make it low enough so that anyone could join up, could link up arms with us and help us as we do all that we can to provide resources, books, curricula, and all of the things that we have planned for local churches to encourage, equip them, and ensure that they have their needs from an education standpoint fulfilled in their local church.
And any requirement for attendance at meetings and things like that?
We have a monthly meeting with all of our network churches. It's usually a Zoom meeting that we do here. We talk about a number of different ideas, a number of different doctrines. We talk about issues like church discipline, issues like preaching. We may have a particular speaker, a special speaker who joins us. We've had Stephen Lawson, for example, join us on one to talk about the issues of expository preaching. And so every month we have a monthly meeting with all of our network churches to help encourage them and again, educate and equip them as well.
Well, we're going to our final break. It will be more brief than the last break for sure. If you have a question for Virgil Walker and you want to get in line behind those already waiting to have their questions asked and answered, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Try to do that as soon as possible because we are rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group, and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. 253-353-3355 or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the Secure Comm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
At thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Welcome back. We have another anonymous listener who asks, Virgil, our Paedo-Baptists and conservative Presbyterians permitted to be a part of the G3 network?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I would say that since the basis of the G3 church network is that you'd have to adhere to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, that most Paedo-Baptists would fall outside of that boundary. So they would, you know, we are definitely credo Baptists. Believers baptism is the way that we would see things there. Now, at the same time, we don't allow Presbyterians to be a part of the G3 church network. We're in friendly cooperation, with our Baptist brothers and sisters in a number of other areas.
You mean our Presbyterian brothers and sisters?
Our Presbyterian brothers and sisters on a number of other fronts. Thanks for helping me correct that.
Now, I'm assuming, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I have a memory. I'm almost certain that Dr. Joel Beakey has preached at the G3 conference, hasn't he? And would men like that be welcome or invited to preach at the conference?
Absolutely. Joel Beakey has been a part of that. John Payne has as well been a part of one of our regional conferences as well. And so, yeah, we welcome our Presbyterian brothers to be a part of that as well.
Well, before we run out of time, which can happen very quickly when you're having fun, can you please summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today about this whole subject that we've been discussing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's incredibly important for us to go back to what Scripture has to say about these issues, recognizing that the church is the church of Jesus Christ. It's Christ's church. It's not our church. It's not your church. It's not your pastor's church. It's Christ's church. He's the one who's shed his blood, died on a cross to redeem his bride. And we have no authority, no ability to declare that we're going to operate his church outside of the bounds of what Scripture actually dictates. And so I think it's incredibly important for us to get back to not just simply the inerrancy of Scripture, but the sufficiency of Scripture as it relates to this subject as well.
And obviously, I'm sure you would want everybody listening to join you and me in praying for the Southern Baptist Convention and praying for all those involved in it, that repentance where it is required takes place by the sovereign goodness of God, and also that wisdom is brought to those who are theologically and biblically faithful members of the Southern Baptist Convention as to how they should proceed in the future as far as the lives of their congregation members and the very affiliations of their churches.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to just continue saying the right things, doing the right things, believing the right things, and declaring those things in those spaces and places where it matters most. As we get closer and closer to this convention, it will be important for church members to inform the messengers that they're sending of the standard that the Bible holds for biblically qualified men in the role of pastor, and that they hold that, stand on that, and declare that as they near the actual convention as it comes up.
Is there any exciting news that you care to share about things that are on the horizon involving other events that are being orchestrated by G3 Ministries, and also things perhaps coming out in print by G3 Press, or things that you and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Just Thinking are participating in?
Yeah, there are a number of different things. We could take another half hour to walk through them all. I'll simply say, currently we just announced our pre-conference. We have two pre-conferences that have just been made available. We've partnered with Grace Bible Theological Seminary, GBTS, to deliver the gospel in the state, or the state in the gospel. It is a pre-conference that will be that will have a number of different great speakers. We'll be talking about everything from theonomy to Christian nationalism. That you'll definitely want to participate in that as well. We've partnered with the Master's Seminary. A number of great speakers will be coming from Master's, and we'll be leading up a pre-conference speaking about the importance of being courageous in our conversation, but also courteous and careful in how we interact on particular subjects as it relates to the challenging issues of our day. And so we've got both of those conferences. They're now, they've just been made available as of today and been promoted through G3min.org. You can go there and sign up for those to participate in the conference, of course, the National Conference, The Sovereignty of God, September 21st through the 23rd. You want to be a part of that. You definitely don't want to miss that. We have a number of things that are teed up that will be coming out during the conference, and a number of things we're working on behind the scenes for 2024 and 2025 that you won't want to miss.
Is there going to be a debate involved in that pre-conference event?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know that there'll be a debate, but there'll be a robust conversation that will be had at the one with GBTS. So all the information is on the website. You'll want to go to g3men.org, go to our events page, and then walk through the information there and to determine which event that you'd want to participate in.
And remember, folks, if you are indeed going to be registering for the G3 National Conference, the 2023 G3 National Conference, go to g3men.org, g3min.org, and use promo code G3ISIR, which is the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio official discount code, to get you 30% off the registration fee. That's G3ISIR. I also want to repeat that all men in ministry leadership are invited to my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, April 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. The two speakers are Banner of Truth author and pastor Dr. William Webster and one of Dr. Webster's co-authors, Reverend David T. King, who is also a pastor. And this is a free luncheon for all men in ministry leadership. And not only is it free, but everybody attending gets a very heavy sack of free brand new books personally selected by me, donated by Christian publishers across the United States and United Kingdom, including G3 Press. So send me an email if you'd like to be a part of that event to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Then remember the 3 days following that, the 14th, 15th, and 16th of April, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio conference is being held at a different church, Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which has a very close relationship with Phil Johnson of Grace to You Ministries. The theme of that event, featuring Dr. Webster and Reverend King, is the gospel removed by Rome, rescued by the reformers and rejected by modern evangelicals. So if you want to attend that and you want to register for that free event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put conference in the subject line. And if you're also attending the luncheon, include luncheon and conference in the subject line. And let me know how many people intend to join you at both or either of those events. I want to thank you so much, Virgil, for always doing such a masterful job on this program. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.